Hello and thanks once again for taking the time to download and listen to our podcast on CelticUnderground.net. I'm Harry Brady, and Harry Brady Jr., what do you say?
What a time to be alive.
In the deepest, darkest days of the early 1990s, I never thought I would see domination to such an extent that former Rangers players are chuffed to bits that the game only finished 5-1. So, I'm just in the door, and I've already recorded a podcast, because we did the podcast on the journey home, so it's quite an illuminating by-the-min coverage of, if I borrow from Lawrence, of our journey home on the sights and sounds that we saw and our review of the game. So I'll leave it over. This is me, Harry Brady, chatting with him, Jim.
By Jim, and sometimes we get I've done a podcast straight after the game. This could not be more straight after the game, because I'm actually in the car, and it is 2:15 and the game has just finished. So Jim, how was that?
That was quite unbelievable. I don't think I would believe it unless I'd actually been there to witness it. In every department we were faster, just said, you know, we were fitter, and we knew the game plan. We knew absolutely how we were playing that game, and we absolutely destroyed that team more than any other game this season. We tore them apart. I think even more than the 6-2 game. I think I've never seen that level of superiority in a game against them, or in a game against any form of them.
Honestly, there was a period there in the first half, it was shooting in, we were just taking shots. The thing is, Clint Hill was holding their defence together, and
was he playing?
And their defence was awful. Oh, it was amazing. So,
but with all those players, they wanted a Hollywood goal. You know, Sinclair, those three chances, it could have been a beautiful, magical, wonderful hat trick. But just one of them, just to put one of them in, would have been great.
Do you know, I sent a couple of texts to people at 2-0 saying, if we get a third before half time, this is their Dallas game. Because you could, when the guy came on, did you see the guy coming on the pitch? Because all I saw at that, what I saw was people making a noise. I then looked up and I saw there was a Rangers fan very close to Brown. Brown didn't see me backing down. And then the thing about it was, he was at, is that the Govan stand? That one?
Whatever it is.
The stewards all had to come from the main stand.
The other guy was escorting them back into the crowd.
Yeah.
He was being escorted back into the crowd. But the three guys for the main stand, the old one, were charging over to try and lift him. But he was literally just escorted back
into the crowd. So what did you see of it? Because as I say, I saw it at the point where the guy was, 2-3 feet away from Brown, and there was another Rangers player there, and the referee was there. But
well, I just get in literally to see the penalty being taken, because outside was an absolute shambles. There were three turnstiles, four turnstiles, one of them was closed to get into the broom lawn upper.
So
and
you
were literally people being funneled into three turnstiles. And then after the match had kicked off, they closed another one of them. So I'm sure there'll be some people listening who were there. Literally, the police are there, and from inside, they closed a turnstile.
Now, you
still thousands of people trying to get into the grounds, and there were two turnstiles for them to get into.
You and I arrived together.
Yeah.
And I left you, I left you 20 minutes before kickoff.
Yep. And I went straight to
in the queue.
Yep. And I got in to see the penalty being scored. I heard two roars. I thought it was a sending off. I thought it was a tackle.
So I can't ask you about the first potential penalty claim then?
Nope, I'm afraid
not. Inside the first minute?
No.
Do you know there was a first penalty claim?
No.
Inside the first minute and a half, Griffiths was through, and they had a sliding tackle. I think Griffiths claimed for handball, And then there was a bit of a claim for, because Sinclair was down. And ended up the ball came back to Gordon, and Gordon booted it out of play because Sinclair was down needing treatment in the box.
Yep.
And so I got a couple of texts from people saying, yeah, it hit his hand, but I think it was not even as much. I think it was just marginally different to the hitting Simonovic's hand, right hand at Harvard, so not a penalty. So, yeah, if you only got in, so what did you say?
Well, I watched it at the top of the stairs, literally heard the roars, ran up, got to the top of the stairs, and saw Scotty lining up to take the penalty. So literally by the time I got to my seat, I had to ask somebody, you know, at that stage, you know, in the chaos, you don't count the players, but I thought somebody had been sent off, that was a double shout, and then somebody explained to me that he'd gone over and consulted.
I was a fair linesman. Well, he stood there, you could tell he was listening.
Who was the ref?
Beaten.
Right.
So he looked across as well. This is what it looked like to me. Roberts was going away from goal. So Roberts was going out of the box. Roberts was going towards the... I mean, you know how Roberts can then turn in a sixpence. So Roberts was going away from goal, and their left back chopped his legs away. Clear foul.
The box.
But because he was going away, there was a debate about whether the foul was in or outside the box, because it was just the momentum. He landed outside the box. But, you know, I was in the lower... Brumlow, and there was a direct line, and to me it looked like he was in, and it looked like Beaton looked to the linesman. I don't think the linesman could give 100%. And I think I wonder whether he asked the fourth official, and all he would have been asking is, was it in or out?
Right. Yeah, because there was a big delay between the first cheer and the second.
So it was everybody knowing it was a foul and claiming for a penalty.
Yeah. But, you know, to be fair, if he does that, if he goes to the linesman, if he asks an opinion, and, you know, if he then consults the fourth official, I want that in the game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to see that. And if that means it's a penalty, great. If three or four of them decide that actually it isn't a penalty, fair enough, I'll take that too.
Yeah. So, penalty, and then... It wasn't the penalty goal that the guy then went and attacked Brown, wasn't it?
It must have been just... Yeah, it was just after that. It was just after that, because that's when, by that time, I got to my seat and I saw the three stewards charging across the pitch, and that's what brought my attention to the guy in the park being escorted back.
Well, I'd seen it.
Excuse me, sir. I think you're in the wrong place. Let me just show you to your seat.
I'd seen it, and the guy was on the park about a foot away
from Brown. Can I just interrupt you here, as there's a boy with a big, big smile walking past us with a case of Budweiser.
It's just a coincidence. And
total coincidence.
It's just a coincidence. He just needed to nip out. So, the guy was about a foot away, and there was a Rangers player there, and the referee was there, and then obviously other people start to see it, so your view's a bit obscured, and then you see the guy getting pulled away, and you're right, it looked like the steward was going to just put him back in.
I assumed that's what happened. I didn't.
There was a I then saw a policeman came down and took him off the steward.
Right, okay.
So,
yep.
So there's that, and then there was the Griffiths goal. So you saw that one?
Yeah, superb. Yeah, absolutely saw that. That was great finish, great move. At that stage, I really couldn't believe it, that, you know, we were so on top, we were so dominant, and to see, you know, it took it well. I think the keeper got a hand to it, didn't
he? Yeah.
The keeper got a hand to it, but still went in, but great finish, and that's, you know, I want to see players scoring when they're in that position, you know, because we had, immediately after that, we had three golden chances, to use a cliche. For Scotty Sinclair, I think, had all three of them.
Yeah.
And it felt as if he wanted to score a film star goal, a Hollywood goal. Yeah. That volley, you know, when there was no one else round about him, I think.
He could have taken it down.
Yeah, he could have. Yeah, he had time to take it down and score. But, I mean, it sounds as if you're being critical.
No, but you were.
It could have been 4-0 up in 20 minutes.
You know that way, you've been in a pub or a nightclub or something, and you just sense that there's a feeling of menace within the place. There's nobody about, but you just think, I want to leave here because I think trouble could kick off at any minute. Although we're in our end, maybe it's just because there ain't, I always think it just feels quite dark and gloomy in Ibrox.
Yeah.
Everything's just a bit more, there's just a more threatening vibe, I feel. Anyway, maybe that's just my, maybe it's just my culture of bias kicking in there.
You don't know enough about the place. Let's embrace it. Let's find out about the history.
No. But at that point, I was thinking, this could be their Hugh Dallas game. If we score a third now, they're going to do something. One of them is going to do something really, really dreadful if we score now.
But what I could see, I was in the upper, what I could see, which you might not have been able to see, was that some of them were leaving by that stage.
Oh, we've just paused because as a poor Alsatian, it's not in a good way, is it?
That's all.
No.
I think he needs a good Alsatian.
Oh, dear. My tail's dragging in it. Oh, no. I'm not blaming the guy for not picking up.
No.
I don't think you can.
We're a civilising influence on this side of the city, but not that much.
You'd have just smeared it into the pavement.
So at that stage, some of them were starting to leave. Of getting pelters, that's the great thing. The rage was great, and they were getting pelters from the other fans in that stand opposite the main stand.
Yeah,
you can see them literally. You know, had enough, and that was it. Was that level of dominance, which they were obviously seeing the level of dominance.
They knew they were being humiliated.
Yeah,
it wasn't just that we were winning; they were being humiliated, and it was inevitable that we were going to score more goals.
Totally. And that, you know, this was before those three golden chances.
Aye, and you know, in the dark days, I mean, what a time to be alive. I mean, did you ever think in the nine in a row,
no,
that you'd be witnessing this level of complete and utter domination about everything? But in those dark days, you experienced similar to the reverse, and you then have the dilemma between the fans who are, I'm not watching this, I'm off, and the other fans who, you don't do that in front of them.
You have to stay there to the extent. I don't know if you saw the guy at the end, the guy in the red golf jumper. He refused to leave until we left.
Yeah,
and he's putting the scarf up, and he was so staunch. He was staunch, just ripping it out.
I mean, actually, the guy in front of me is getting all annoyed, and I said, fair play to the guy. He has just sat through his team being utterly humiliated and has decided that.
Oh, Paul's coming to deal with the Alsatian.
Yeah. You didn't pick up the shite. I thought my wing mirror was gone there. There we are. Live action updates. It's transport police. Oh, that's for the trains. That's transport police. There you go. It's a live update, a police car. There's a pillar on the side of the pavement here, so it's a bit difficult for him to get past. There you go. Now he's stuck. Can he get out on the road? But I said to the guy, fair play. The guy's only way to salvage any pride for himself out of the day is to say that I left the ground after they did.
Yeah, totally, because he's one of the people. You know, what else could the poor guy do? He had to stay there. A sense of staunchness and righteousness and being one of the people meant that he had to stay. So he had to stay to witness the groundsman walking slowly over the penalty spot. And I don't know how much of this was covered on telly, but at the end of the game when all the players came up to the Celtic end, by the way, just in passing, there were four or five Celtic players, Liam Henderson,
Mackay Stephen.
It was great to see them in the stand. I know they do that regularly there, but it was great to see them in there. But also, they were, you know, going tonto when all the players came over. So the players came over to the Celtic end, big celebrations. And Lee Griffiths got the scarf, and everybody was like, whoa, everybody's expecting him to tie it around the goalpost. We're all expecting the goalpost. And he walks past the goalpost. There's a big, oh, like the Billy Connolly joke, Ivan Terrible. Oh, did it happen? So he takes the scarf and he lays it down at the penalty spot.
It was magic.
It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful moment. And then somebody had thrown on a big inflatable bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
So Lee Griffiths, the sight of Lee Griffiths with a double magnum, what are they called, a jerry bomb, a diffuser of champagne. I'm a trying
to... You know your champagne, Jim.
I'll be knowing it tonight. And he got the champagne bottle, this inflatable champagne bottle, and he's trying to balance it, not just on top of the penalty spot, but on top of the Celtic scarf, on top of the penalty spot, the ruffled Celtic scarf. So he's trying for 10 seconds to balance this thing. And he failed. And so the... the champagne, Jerry Bomb, whatever, rolls away. And then at the end, Mr. Staunch has to witness the groundsman walking slowly up, picking up the Celtic scarf. And with his fork in hand, he then goes to the inflatable champagne bottle. And we're thinking, he's got to fork it. He's got to fork the bottle. He picks it up and cradles the bottle. It was a beautiful moment.
He's a secret Tim. There was a point there where it was almost a spiritual moment. I was almost in tears at just the joy of thinking of the times when you'd been through crap. And now we were experiencing this performance.
Well, it's why you go through those days. It's why you stay. It's why Mr. Scott stays. You know, because it will come right again.
Mr. Staunch, they've got a disaster on their hands for season book sales. I mean, going for 5-1 is hardly a slogan they can.
It's hardly a slogan for season book sales.
I mean, we went 5-1 in the sixth game. I was going to say on the fifth victory.
I've forgotten about that. Aye, of course, yeah.
It's your fifth victory. It's your fifth victory of the season that we got the 5-1. So they did get 55. They got 2-5. They got 5 against them on the fifth victory.
In the moment and in the ecstasy of today, I completely forgot that link, that connection with the previous 5-1. But it could have been, you know, 5-1 game. You know, 5 was maybe a fair score, you know.
Yeah.
Could maybe have been 5-2 or 6-1. But it was just about right. Today, you know, today was 8-9 territory.
Absolutely.
The last 20 minutes, you know, we were passing the ball and giving it the old lays. We were in game management, or thinking about the next game, injury prevention, all of that. You know, we could have gone on and hammered them, but there was no need to. We weren't tackling. We were pulling out of tackles, and there came a point you thought they scored, and that was disappointing. But then, you know, for us to be able to score again was tremendous, and we'll probably get to that in a minute. But the way we handled that last 20 minutes was really professional, I thought, and made me think, yeah, Brendan's going for the unbeaten run.
Absolutely.
He wants this. And
also,
we'll do too.
Also, do you know what? I think Brendan's enough of a Celtic fan that Brendan wanted to humiliate them on their own patch.
Yeah,
I absolutely believe that.
To the extent of bringing Bruni off right at the very last minute,
because
to make sure Bruni got the ovation.
There was a bit when Lustig played. I didn't think it was a bad, you know, it was a bad opportunity. The ball broke to him. There was somebody up front. Can't remember who it was. And he tried to play a quick ball through. And if it had got through, then whoever it was would have been clean through on goal. But it was intercepted. It was, you know, it was a sort of Hail Mary pass type thing. It was intercepted. And I noticed that Brendan was going nuts for him not to just pick out the Celtic player and play the way that we play football. And that, when I saw that happening, I thought, you want to win this game.
Yeah.
Playing our way.
Yeah.
The way that we've destroyed teams this season. That's what you're wanting to do. I mean, see,
and they wanted to pay homage to the players who done that today also.
Yes.
You know, when he took Roberts off, that ovation for Roberts. You know, that was talking of emotional moments. That was a really emotional moment. It took 5 minutes to get half the park, which was nothing to do with time wasted. It was just the sheer scale of that ovation they received.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was really, really heartwarming.
And at half-time in the Cup semi-final, I remember having a debate with, you know, my brother and my dad and, you know, could they come back into it? What could they do to come? You know, because you're thinking, you know, are we going to dominate, go on here, or is there any way that they can stop this? And you're debating about, well, maybe they could do this or maybe they could do that. Oh, here's another one. But today you weren't. Today I wasn't. Today I was just thinking, we're going to score another couple of goals, at least in the second half.
Yeah.
This is... There was a different type of dominance. The Cup semi-final, we were dominant because we were just so comfortable in possession. It's almost as if Brendan took the players aside after the Cup final and said, that was brilliant, you dominated. However...
Yeah, there always has to be a however with Brendan.
However, you weren't clinical enough.
Yep.
I want you to annihilate them.
Yep. And that reminds me of Alex Ferguson and that famous time when he beat them in a cup final.
That's right.
Went into the dressing room and absolutely lacerated the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think Willie Miller talks about it. You know, he goes in, the manager comes in, and they expect to be, you know, ruining his best suit with champagne, and he get absolutely tore into them.
Yeah.
For an unacceptable standard to play and beating them in a cup final.
Yeah.
Because that was where he wanted to take his team. And for me, there are parallels with Brendan, because Brendan wants to improve. So after the draw at our place, you know, he then started. It must have gone and worked, looked at him, the backroom team, because that's the other thing. I think the backroom team at the club do need to a big shout out to, because they must have, you know, worked so hard to get the team to this level, and looking at how that draw couldn't happen again.
Absolutely. I mean, I managed to speak with someone in Celtic this week and said, so. Because your only concern going into this game was, my only concern, might not be anybody else's, everybody else may be saying I'm talking shite. My only concern going into this game was remembering the Hampden season where they came to Hampden champions and we beat them 3-0 because they couldn't have cared less.
Yep.
And I was thinking, I think our most complacent we have been against them has resulted in a draw. And if our most complacent is a draw, I don't think Brendan will do that again. I think Brendan also learns from an issue once and doesn't do it again. But the only other thing I was thinking was, like, so you're preparing for them, because Junior's not been in charge that long, so you're not getting to see how, you know...
He's not going to be in charge for very long.
Oh, yeah. You're not getting to see two or three different versions of a senior team to know, well, see if he can't do this, he does that. And so I managed to get to speak to someone. I said, you see your point about the backroom team. Do you think Cassini will play with the team that started against in the cup final or the team that finished the cup final? Oh, absolutely. We think he'll go with the team that finished the cup final. And he more or less did. Clint Hill came in. But pretty much, Windus came on in the cup final and
Yeah, he was, I don't know if he was effective, but he was more of a threat.
Do you know what though? What he wasn't
apart from Miller, perhaps
he wasn't affected to do these three Labour canvassers. Oh, solidarity, socialism, and equality. I'm sure they're getting lots of good responses in government today. That's the big dodo. The only time he went forward, he was offside. The ball kept getting played up, and he kept being offside.
Yep. Yeah, he was nowhere. Absolutely nowhere.
And
you know, the defence were great. You know, a couple of fantastic interceptions in that first half. Was it Simunovic?
Interception. Oh, the tackle on it was right in front of Beaton. The tackle on Miller. Miller goes up in the air and lands. And you are thinking, oof. The fact that it was right in front of Beaton and Beaton would play on, you knew that it must have been a fantastic challenge. I subsequently had a text from someone who told me that Andy Walker on the telly said that the ref should have, even though it was a good foul, the ref should have given a foul to Rangers to stop the Rangers playing feeling incensed. Utter nonsense.
But that's what you come to expect. When they were given the who's the Fenian in the black, I assumed it was Kevin Clancy. You know, I had no idea who the ref was. Oh, we're just passing. The old Govan Arms, famous Celtic pub in Govan.
Yep,
tremendous. The boys in there do great stuff for charity as well. They give their part funding the fresh food programme at Glasgow North East Food Bank.
Are they?
If I could just say that as we're passing the old Govan Arms. Well done, special.
Well done, Govan Arms.
Yep. But back to the defence.
I feel like this is a live radio broadcast, and I've just told the Govan Arms, and they're all in the
underground. Outside broadcasting, Celtic Underground outside broadcasting.
The Celtic Underground by the mid commentary of my drive home.
In fact, just drop me here. Listen, we're fine. But that there was also on that the Beaton decisions. There was that tackle when Waghorn went down, stayed down, and again the rage was strong from the other stands, and we went up the other end, and we should have scored with Paddy Roberts.
Paddy
Roberts.
You do know also there's the rage factor amongst the loyal, staunch Huns will be an ultra rage about Lywell and about how all our intimidation of the referees in the last couple of weeks has paid dividends, and that's why we got every 50-50 decision today. That will be the chat from them. Tough titty. See, even if that is the case, now they know how it feels to be Celtic. So, half-time, what were you thinking?
I was talking to the guy next to me, and I felt it was being a bit greedy because I'd wanted three with the chances we'd had. But also, you know, you've always got this thing that you think they're going to come back. No matter how dominant we were, you think, actually, they're going to get a chance.
Because remember, I had that shot just before half-time that just... Because I was hitting it, and the ball actually looked like it was going to maybe clip the corner of the post in the bar. Then it wobbled towards the goal and then swerved out away from the goal.
Yep.
And you were thinking, all you need is...
2-1, if it's 2-1.
And again, you've got this sense of fear and doom that
they could come back. And it was based on nothing.
No, absolutely nothing.
But we've been to so many games where they've got that. You know, talk to the guy about the Tommy Burns, God rest his soul, era, when the number of games when we were so dominant and Gorham kept us at bay and then they would score and
make a wee goal.
And that was heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking, especially to Tommy's teams. But so today at half time I felt, having gone through those days, I was being greedy and I wanted a third, because that third, they wouldn't have been in the game. Now, of course, they weren't in the game.
I was being greedy. I wanted seven.
By the end, maybe. But then we just continued in the second half. When Halliday came on, I thought, right, their tactics are going to change here. They're going to...
I definitely felt first minute or two of the first half, you felt they've obviously been told, you're standing watching Celtic play football. Because this is the other thing.
You know, I thought, though, that there had been an intervention from a real Rangers man.
That's
a real Rangers man.
A real Rangers
man. Talking about them.
Just boot one of them up the arse.
Yep.
Just boot them in, just give one of them a good kicking.
Yep.
You're standing watching, letting them play football. In the first 2 minutes, in particular, they were a bit more physical. And obviously the loyal fans in the stands were getting excited, thinking something's going to happen, and then it just reverted back to the first half.
Totally. And to be fair to Beaton, you know, Halliday was booked, what, in the first 15 minutes of the second half? And, you know, there were a couple of occasions somebody tripped. Was it Kieran when he was away? Was it Paddy Roberts? And that... In any other day, that should have been a booking. You know, it was a cynical, professional foul. You know, it wasn't dangerous. It wasn't overly physical. But it was a booking. He didn't give that. And I don't know who the player was, but I thought he might have already been in the yellow. And that's the sort of decision you do want a bit of consistency in the game. But again, maybe I'm being greedy. But when we got that third, it was literally... Well, it was game over from
the third was a great goal, and we'd had a chance. McGregor had nearly scored not long into the second half. It was a great save by their keeper just in the near post of the main stand side post, his right hand side, tipped off for a corner. Third goal,
and there was also a shot, was it before the third goal, where I was behind and I swore that Griffiths had scored. You know, the ball hit the net and then it went behind and it was rolling about and I was jumping and it wasn't a goal.
There was also, I'm losing track because when you're in such delirium, you lose track of all the time. There was a
like a train spotting scene.
There was a brilliant shot by Armstrong. I think this was in some point in 3-0. There's a brilliant shot by Armstrong that I'm standing right behind it, and I thought, this is going in.
Yep.
I actually thought it was going in till the very, very last second.
Yep.
So McGregor...
A few free kicks as well, the Griffiths free kick.
Yeah, and McGregor scores. What a player, McGregor. What a end to the season McGregor's having.
Did you see the pass, the McGregor pass? Again, you referred to there was a Hail Mary pass at some stage, but was it the McGregor pass when he literally, he was about the halfway line, and he swerved the ball straight to Griffiths. Was it, in fact, it was that Griffiths shot that I thought was the goal. What a pass. Fantastic. Was it? It might not have been McGregor.
He was always certain it was. I mean, it's one of the things last season under Ronnie Dyle that used to bug me, that, or frustrate me, that people would give McGregor a hard time. He's one of your kids.
I never understood that.
He played some, you know, he would play some fantastic passes in a game, and they'd be ignored because of one mistake, one shoddy pass.
We were talking about that, and talking to the guy next to me again, and we're talking that, you know, here's a kid coming into a Celtic midfield, because Brendan reckons he's good enough to be in that Celtic midfield. I've always liked Callum McGregor, and I think, could he be a better player? Yeah, absolutely, he could be. He's a kid. You know, you cannot. We do rush to judge because of
every blade of grass. I mean,
and he's a different option.
Yeah,
he's a direct player. He's got great footwork. He's prepared to take people on, but he's an intelligent, clever footballer as well. I really like that. I like what I see in his development in the last 3 months. It's just been staggering.
So my favourite goal of the game, because I had Boyata anytime scorer at 9-1. My favourite goal of the game, well, actually it's not my favourite goal of the game, it was my favourite goal of the game out of the first four, my fifth was my favourite, was Boyata's.
Was there a challenge to him?
No, I mean, I actually thought we had a chance of scoring every time the ball went into the box. Today,
we're getting so much space in the penalty box. And it was a little bit disappointing, actually, that we didn't have more clear chances from set pieces. I know we took a few shots at set pieces that Griffiths' free kick I referred to. But that one, it felt as if there was no challenge. I think I actually missed him heading the ball into the goal, because everybody was already up celebrating. But that great goal, and I'd love to see Boyata and Seminovic. I think Seminovic, you know, could score more goals. But when they have defence, their centre-backs are non-existent.
Did you notice at the end of the game, when the players were starting to come down the Celtic end, Brendan called Simonovic and Boyata over?
Right, no, I missed that.
The two of them just together, and had a wee two-minute chat just with the two of them.
Right.
At the end of the game, he was shouting them, and so they didn't go in with the group. So,
do you think that was congratulatory, or was that
physical? I don't know. It was like after the final whistle. So I don't think it would have been anything. I don't think it would speak about tactics or anything at that point. I think it would have just been, you did a brilliant game today. I mean, the only thing.
But then, did you see when Kieran was injured and Kieran was tackled, and you know, for a minute we thought the worst, and he was getting up at that stage. Bruni, I think it was when we were, was it 4-1 at that stage? Bruni and Brendan were having a big tactical chat.
Yeah, because it was just after they'd scored.
Yes, yep.
And I saw that because, you know, again, it's not to sound as though we're being critical, but the only thing I did feel is, I don't know if that goal would have happened when Armstrong was on the park.
Yep.
They just did. There's a bit of a, we've dominated for so much. You know, I'm a 4-0 up. It's going to be a bit of relaxation and all of those types of things. So I'm hardly going to be critical of them. I just thought, it was, you know, I'm sure they'll look at it and they'll think it was a bad goal to lose. So once they scored, all I wanted was we score one more goal so that we're leaving that game that we celebrated the last goal.
And what a goal. What a goal.
You just kept coming.
Pass it now. What are you doing? Pass it.
You kept coming and they kept standing off him and giving him the space.
Oh, and the finish. What a finish. And the big man just went completely radio
yeah,
absolutely lost the plot.
I mean, it's the guy next to me said, apart from maybe Brown, you couldn't have wanted another Celtic player to have scored a goal because of the way that he is.
Yeah, well, I was wanting Kieran to score. Being greedy, I wanted Kieran to score today. But yeah, the way that he is, for him to score there and for him to score a goal like that,
he got booked.
Yeah, so I'm getting booked for it. Yeah, I couldn't
believe it. He lifted his jersey over his face.
Was that the booking?
I think that's what it was for.
I thought it was for the old thing about encouraging the crowd to surge forward.
We encourage the
crowd. It's only us in Motherwell who have ever been booked for that, as far as I can see.
But we encourage the crowd at every goal today, including when Griffiths went and stood after his goal and stood at the corner flag so they could all see the amount of Coke bottle cup, Coke cups, cup, but Coke cups, on the side of the pitch, because that's where we went to celebrate every goal.
and they were all lobbed on. Aye. I assume. Right. What did Griffiths? After his goal, he went and handed something to somebody in the crowd. What was that?
Somebody had chucked a mobile phone.
Right. Oh, really?
One of them had chucked a mobile phone at the Celtic players after they scored one of the goals.
Had a phone, someone.
Aye, this is Lee Griffiths. Fucking four.
I've done a Lenny. Picked up the phone. Oh, I've got your son's phone here.
So there was that. Also on the big screen, there was two or three times. I mean, obviously this was Sky's pictures, where you just saw Glum Huns.
Although, did you see that? There was a minute, I hadn't realised it was Sky's pictures actually in there. I thought they were in-house telling. Which is why I should have gone down there, you bugger.
Turn out.
Which is why I thought it was strange when they had Brendan. They had when we were singing the Brendan Rodgers here for 10 in a row. One of the occasions we were singing Brendan Rodgers here for 10 in a row. There was just a big image of Brendan on the screen for 30 seconds.
Brendan's big face on the big screen at Ibrox. I'm sure that was.
And the rage was strong again.
We're trying to, just so you know, we're trying to go down the Clyde Tunnel, we're looking round, and I missed the turn off, too busy chatting. So, there was that, and, oh, stop with the reverse.
And so what do you think about Lustig? Do you think, we're having a chat about how do we strengthen this team? Do you think Lustig is the right back? Because it's great, even when all of the players came on at the end, including the subs, it was great to see Eric Svietchenko getting so into it as well. And he's somebody, the guy next to me was a big admirer of him, saying, I like him. I know, you know, he might not be the greatest centre-back, but he gets the club. He gets the club in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, well, his sister does work with the foundation.
Yes, yep, she's an artist, his twin sister.
Aye. So, patently, the family get the club, actually.
Yeah, she's moved over. She's moved over to work... I know she's an artist, so she works in art, but she, funnily enough, but she also works with some of the young lads and the young women in the employability scheme in the foundation. And some of those images they produced again, getting emotional, the image of Brother Wilfred painted by the kids turning their life around in the employability scheme, I thought was tremendous. So Eric gets it, but Lustig gets it so much, and seeing what that meant to him was great.
Do you know, if I was to look at I can see Lustig as at times a weak link, but I find it hard to say that we need
I find it really even hard to say that, and to hear that is given what the club means to him.
But do you know the other thing about that, talking about it, just reminded me,
I can't be objective at this stage.
I can't be objective. The thing that was so shite about them, one of the things that was so shite about them is, so we play this system where we have a back four that pivots to a three.
Yes.
With Kearney going up.
Yep.
And so
Kearney.
I'm giddy.
This is without a drink.
So you know what we do. Gordon gets the ball and we pass to those three, and they then three pass it out.
There were a couple of occasions when he hoofed it.
One of the things I was going to say is, so they do, and then we pass it about, those three, and they would decide to close us down, but maybe one of them would go, and so you could just pass it. I mean, I was, you know, last week with his famous Tumblr thing, Cassinia was talking about, you know, the game was supposed to have been to have closed down Lustig.
Do you think he'll be using broken glasses this time?
Ah, absolutely. Now, to give a straight on or where, to just so the people listening could know,
whatever.
So, now that we've just edited out Jim's address, the directions home, they just, you either close down or you don't close down, but you don't half of the close down with one of you doing it or two of you doing it, which is what they did.
Yeah, what they did. Yep. They didn't press. I couldn't see their game plan.
No, I couldn't see their game plan.
I couldn't see what changed at all. It was just more of the same. And Miller's face couldn't be more orange and red or pierced.
Oh,
he was raging with every one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every single one of them, he was getting pelters.
You know,
they were just looking at him thinking, actually, you know what? I'm not going to be here much longer. So give me all the pelters you want.
You know, I said, you know, it's fairly obvious looking in. Kajinia is completely out of his depth. Patently, what's happened is their wee interview team has gone. They've spoken to Barry Ferguson and John Brown and football thugs like that. And then they've gone and spoken to this suave, well-dressed Portuguese guy. He's foreign, sounds a bit sexy.
I bet he'd grow a great beard, by the way.
That's
double the distance, Dan Stubble. He'd be a great hipster.
He would, actually. He would. Maybe that's what he should do.
Maybe he's next
over the summer.
Because he'll have plenty of time in his hand.
But you just get the impression that they thought, oh, this sounds... this, and he's talked the talk. They've not looked at his CV. He has talked the talk. And they've thought, sexy football, this guy knows his stuff, this is our man. And then it's been... I had a conversation with a press man at one of the post-match press conferences.
Of course, I keep forgetting at the draw that he wasn't the manager.
Yeah.
That he was in the stand.
Yeah. The press man didn't think he'd see past Christmas. I didn't think he'd see past the October week. I'm now unsure if you'll see the new season. You've got to get a decent price back to your bookie bashing. You've got to get a decent price from not being there for the first game of the season.
Having to pay off somebody else. As well as off the team. No, sorry, off the team are on loan from accountant Stanley. It's a guy in Radio Clyde told us. Not that we're Clyde listening,
we couldn't resist it when we got in the car. Because Radio Scotland now goes straight to covering the rest of Scottish football because they don't have any interviews at the game.
Yeah.
We going left here. Nobody knows where we are, Jim. No one. I'll take a picture and put it on. So, I probably will bring the podcast to a close, so only so that I can get full directions from this point on.
Aye, just here, driver.
And I will say, Jim, thanks very much. It's been a fun day.
It has been a very fun day, and I suspect the rest of the day is going to be a lot of fun as well, and tomorrow.
Right, cheers.
Cheers.
Which was 5-1, and have a look at today's 5-1. It's a total different dynamic to the team. You know, they understood all the elements and of how we wanted to play, and I think you've seen that in full flow today. It's a system that Rangers were playing that at the beginning, which is a diamond, and if you're not concentrated and not organised, you can get outnumbered and outpassed. But the players tactically were absolutely superb in the game, and obviously then when they had the ball and earned the right to get the ball, they were sensational, really. So yeah, big difference in terms of the 5-1 at the beginning of the season to the 5-1 today, and a very comprehensive win. Only disappointment, we actually should have scored more goals.
You saw the frustration from yourself when Rangers scored. Is that just the standards that you set?
Well, the players are performing. Yeah, as when you can see the goal, and it does disappoint you at times, but that's just every coach and manager, I'm sure, will be the same. You know, because it's defensively in the game, we were absolutely superb. And sometimes it happens when you have that lead, you sometimes lose that little bit of possession, because naturally you just sit in and recover for a little bit. And Kenny Miller, in fairness to him, he's got himself in and finished it well. But yeah, for everything, every other part of the game, we were outstanding.
Right from the start, in the first few sides of the game, won the ball off Rangers, created a chance in the inside the first minute. That must, as a manager away from home, make you feel as if they're right on it.
Well, they are. I said when I came in that my job is to build a team that can go into any stadium without fear and play. And obviously, this is one of the great rivals here for Celtic. So for us to come here and show that. And I think we had a couple of moments like that. The goal at the end typifies it. You know, so our defenders defend forward. So be aggressive, step in and defend forward. And that's where the fifth goal comes from, with Mika stepping in, winning it, and then going and scoring like a winger or centre forward. But yeah, you have to earn the right, you know, fundamentally in any game. You have to defend and how I like my team to defend is with that aggression and high level of pressing. And the players done it right the way through, from the first to the very last minute. Their physicality in the game was top class.
I hope you enjoyed it, and good night and God bless.
Good night.